What a nice intro. Let me just take a moment as we get started. I'll elaborate on a couple of points about myself that Rob was sharing about. So I do have this wonderful, beautiful family, and it's kind of funny. We were they're in a little bit better mood today than the past few days. Somehow I've avoided it, but for the past few weeks, we've had this sickness sort of circulating through the family. I have three young kids, so that's probably who we can pin it on. But we're coming out of a season of ministry where I was involved on Sunday mornings in the church I was serving, basically every Sunday, and the running joke was, man, could we ever hear somebody else preach? That was within our house. And now we've lived in Alberta in Red Deer for a year, and just in the past short while, I've started to have the opportunity to jump into some churches on Sunday mornings and preach again, and they have missed every single one because of sickness. So it's totally flipped on us, and I'm not sure if I always should believe that they're actually not feeling as well as they say they are. But anyways, they're wonderful. They've been here a handful of times. We've worshipped with you a number of times over the course of the past year. And so it's always been a very enjoyable experience to be here. As Rob had said, I am from this area. I've never lived in Red Deer, but I've lived in Edmonton and Calgary and Hilda and a few places in Saskatchewan. So this sort of feels like home, this central Alberta feel. But my most closest home right now is Michigan. And a year ago, just a hair more than a year ago, I moved here from Michigan, and then about a month after that, my family moved after me to step into this position of ministry just down the road at Camp Caroline. And I know Camp Caroline has a rich history of partnership with Unity, so many of you here perhaps have been there, maybe even have been there recently, or have a family that has spent a lot of time out there, so I know that there's a deep connection that we're very grateful for between Camp Caroline and Unity Baptist. And so I've been in this position at Camp Caroline for the past year, just a year and 2 weeks, basically. So I just crossed over the year threshold, and it feels really good to now not have so many things that are coming my way that I've never experienced before. Every time we do something, I can at least say, I remember doing this once. And so that feels really good. One of the things that's been unique is I'm in a brand new position called the Director of Ministries. And so my role is very much leading the on-site staff team. I'm not on-site every day, but when I am out there, most of my day is given to the team that's there. There's about 18 full-time, year-round staff members on the staff that I'm working alongside of. And now we're about to step into a season where we have our college summer staff group come out, and then I get to play chaplain quite a bit, and that's such a joy for me. And it's a joy to be here this morning as well. Pastors Ben and Rob invited me to share, and this morning is the morning that we landed on, and it sounds like it's a very exciting morning for you as a congregation, so it's a real privilege to be here. And it's a privilege to get to come and share greetings. On behalf of the Alberta Baptist Association, of which you are a part and I am a part, to bring greetings from the Reformed Church in America, which is actually the group that I received my ordination from and that I've been serving down in Michigan for the past 10 years. And there are a few Christian Reformed churches in the city here, and so it's great to be able to bring those greetings. And also, of course, from Camp Caroline. I sort of get to be an agent of all three this morning. As I was planning on my time here this morning, and after I talked to Pastor Ben and he had made the invitation to me, I began thinking then, okay, Lord, what is it that I ought to share this morning with this opportunity that I have? And Ben did what is the classic invitation. You know what, Chris? Let's do this. Blank slate. Totally clean canvas. Go wherever you want. It sounds really simple. It sounds really nice and easy, doesn't it? This is a very big book. There's a lot of places to go. Not so simple at all. And so I took that invitation a little bit as a challenge, and I said, okay, blank canvas. Where are we going to go this morning on this Sunday with Unity Baptist? And as I thought about it, I realized, well, Ben and Rob also invited me to share a little bit about camp. So I thought perhaps this is the best move is to wed these two ideas together, to take an update on the ministry of Camp Caroline and to take this blank canvas that I've been given and to weave them together and allow the Lord to speak through both of those. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. And I'll give a disclaimer right out of the gate. You saw the little teaser video for our summer, but that's almost as much as you're going to hear from me about any of the specifics of Camp Caroline. I'm not going to go too specific on what we're doing out there, and this is the reason why. First of all, I did bring some brochures along with me. So if you have any questions or you'd like to learn more, you can feel free to grab me or contact me. Or if you dig around in the lobby out here on the shelves, you can take home some information with you today. But the bigger reason that I thought we wouldn't spend too much time unpacking the specifics of the ministry at Camp Caroline is, frankly, I more want to talk about you. And so that's what we're going to do this morning, is talk a little bit more about what God might be doing in your midst here at Unity Baptist. And I believe that it really is such an amazing privilege to have the invitation to come and to share God's word with you this morning. And if I'm going to do that, and if I'm going to unpack a message that the Lord has delivered to me to share with you, then it's got to have some relevance, and it's got to have some impact, and it's got to have that for you, or else what am I doing here? I could do this in the corner of my own office in my home and get just as much out of it myself. But no, this has to be for all of us. And so we're going to spend a little bit more time unpacking a message that I believe God has for you. But we aren't going to let Camp Caroline off the hook. Camp is going to give us a little bit of direction, and it's going to do so in this way. We're going to take our message this morning, and we're going to center it around the theme that we are building all of our ministry out of in the coming months through the summer. And it is a theme that we've been referring to as Kingdom Come. You saw the little image at the end of the video. Kingdom Come is going to be the roadmap as we dig into our time together this morning. And before we jump in and we break open God's word and start to see what's in there for us, I'd like to take a quick moment to just again invite God to speak to us, that his Holy Spirit would be present in the study of his word. So if you would pray with me. Lord, we are so grateful that spanning across this city, across this province, this country, this globe, your church is gathering. Many congregations have gathered together this morning and are back home already in many places in the world. Others are yet to gather. Throughout this city, there are believers gathering in all different contexts to lift up your name, to hear from you. And we count ourselves privileged among those. Whether we are a guest this morning or we are on the leadership of this church, we thank you that we have the opportunity to gather together in a place like this, to hear from you, to be drawn to you, to be challenged by you. May that be the case this morning. May we have the eyes and the ears to hear your word, and may you use it to speak to us. We pray this in the name of your risen Son, Jesus. Amen. So, Kingdom Come. Two words that put together, I think, are probably, I'm going to take a little bit of a stab in the dark, you're probably pretty familiar to most of us. I would even reckon that among those of us who profess Christian faith, that have either grown up in or around the church, the idea of Kingdom Come is one that it's pretty familiar. Now, I think if I were to take these two words, Kingdom Come, and I were to put a blank in front of them, how might we fill in that blank Kingdom Come? I can think of a few. The first one I'm drawn to is probably thy. Thy kingdom come. I see heads some heads nodding. Yeah, thy kingdom come. Or maybe we put your kingdom come, depending on the translation of God's word that we're most familiar with, or perhaps the tradition that we're from. Your kingdom come. A phrase, of course, that's coming to us, again, out of the scriptures. Out of one of the, if not the most famous prayer that we have ever been exposed to, the Lord's Prayer. A prayer given by Jesus in a couple of places, the Gospels of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, they both record the Lord's Prayer. And in that we have this phrase, your kingdom come. Now, if you have either of our passages for this morning open, we have Matthew 18 as one of the texts we're going to be looking at. You just flip a few pages back to Matthew 6 and you see that Jesus is gathering together with his disciples and he offers this prayer to the Lord. And it's a prayer that we're awfully familiar with. If we know anything about Jesus' teaching, we probably have come in contact with the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. In fact, the truth is, even many folks who do not profess Christian faith have had plenty of exposure to this prayer. I remember as a kid, we would pray this when I was in like kindergarten in grade 1 and 2. We'd pray this every morning at the start of school. And it certainly was not because we professed faith as a school, but it was just part of the culture that I was growing up in. Your kingdom come. It's a passage that so many know so well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, of course, we know that there's more to this prayer. It continues on beyond that. But I just want to stop right there because it's interesting to me that in only the third phrase of the Lord's Prayer, we find this little cluster of words, your kingdom come. I feel like that indicates to us that it's important. That Jesus is giving some attention and he's putting a priority on this very prayerful statement that he's beginning this prayer out with. Because if you unpack that prayer and you look at it, his very first sentence, his very first prayer statement is just he's addressing God. And then in the second statement, he is giving knowledge and credence to God for who he is. And then in this third statement, he essentially makes his first prayer request. It's the very first thing Jesus asks for in this prayer, thy kingdom come. And as he gives that prayer request, you can tell that Jesus also identifies that this is a prayer that can be fulfilled in two different ways. And what are these two ways? Well, if you look at the phrases that follow immediately after that next little piece of thy kingdom come in the Lord's Prayer, he gives us these two ways. In the very same verse, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is praying, Father, can you bring about the fulfillment of your kingdom promises here on earth? And can you bring about the fulfillment of your kingdom promises there in heaven? Here and there. This is the first time in the New Testament we discover this dual kingdom language that's at play. But I can assure you, it's not the last. It is a concept that is consistently woven throughout the pages of our New Testament. Where we discover as we engage with the writers of God's word that God's kingdom is both now and not yet. Have you heard this before? This notion of living between the times? It's a notion that it's developed extensively throughout the pages of the New Testament. And as I was studying this over the past little while, it struck me that there is no writer in the entire New Testament that doesn't give attention to this time about living and what it means to be living in the tension between Christ's first and final comings. It's across all the pages of the New Testament. And Scripture's call through those pages is to live confidently in that tension between what we already enjoy and know as followers of Christ and what we realize we have not yet possessed. The New Testament is literally littered with this teaching. And so if we did a flyby through the New Testament, we might discover a few of those places where we find this teaching at work. And I'll just rattle off a few because it would take our whole morning. Well beyond our time together to pull them all up. But in Colossians chapter 1, we discover that, yes, already we are in the kingdom, but yet still we await the coming of that kingdom in its full eternal totality. Another book of the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, we discover that already we can experience God's presence through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but yet we still await the complete and full presence of God. In Romans chapter 12, already we can worship the Lord together, but yet still we await that total and full complete worship that we will one day have in eternity. Or 1 John chapter 1, already we can have fellowship with God and with one another as we're doing this morning, but still we await the perfect fellowship of peace, joy, and love that is yet to come. And then if we really want to talk about kingdom, we can flip to the final book of our New Testament, in the book of Revelation, packed with this kind of language. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that already we can experience the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives today. But yet, we still await a future resurrection that will be with Christ. And the kingdom promises, trust me, friends, they go on and on and on as Scripture reveals to us that Christ's kingdom is here. But also that Christ's kingdom has not yet come. Both of these statements, according to the New Testament, are true. But yet this teaching doesn't just come from the other writers of the New Testament. We so easily find that Jesus, he leads the charge in this teaching as well. And we're going to look at that through the two different Bible passages that were read for us this morning. And thank you, Pastor Rob, for reading those. The first of them is a teaching coming from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Where we read, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is pointing out the very same truth that all these other New Testament writers had laid out as well. You cannot predict it. You cannot prevent it. You cannot slow it down. You cannot speed its arrival. The kingdom of God is coming. It is not here yet. You know, there's a lot of connections between the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. And there's a very similar passage in Matthew chapter 24, almost an identical type teaching, except in Luke's account, this account that we have before us today, Jesus adds this one line, the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Now, the word within is sometimes better translated as among. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, it's not somewhere you can go and locate it. It's not over here. It's not over there. He says, look around at the people that are sitting next to you. Take a look at yourself. The kingdom of God is within. It's among. It's moving. It's active. Even alive. And as I think about that truth, I realize if that's true, if the kingdom of God is alive, then it's present today. Then it's here right now. The kingdom has come. But we wouldn't do the scriptures justice if we left it right there, because there's this other teaching that Jesus gives us that we heard this morning from Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself and becomes like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is now pointing out the other side of this kingdom reality, this kingdom truth. For those that are already focused on the arrival of Christ's presence in the world and the power that he brings with them, those who are already thinking about their current position in the kingdom as they know it, you shouldn't get too comfortable, Jesus says. You shouldn't settle in. You shouldn't take for granted that you've already discovered the key to your salvation. Just you wait and see. The kingdom is not here yet. It is still yet to come. Now, I've spent a little bit of time with this passage in the past couple of weeks, and I find it so captivating to see that as Jesus attempts to direct his listeners toward thinking about the future, he does so by leaning on the group of people that actually thinks about the future the least. Right? And who is that? There's a few of them in here this morning. These little kids. Jesus is pointing at them and saying, let them teach us how to think about the future. Now, as I mentioned in my intro, I've got a young family. My youngest little guy is 7 months. So for anybody here who has kids, you think to that moment, that 6th, 7th month mark, you know that it's extremely eventful, extremely busy. Challenging, I might say. Extremely challenging. But yet, no matter how exhausting or how troublesome the night before or the day before may have been, you know who's just as rip-roaring ready to go the very next morning when a new day starts? You're not looking at him. You open that door, you step into that little guy's room, no matter how the night's gone, how many wake-ups, what the day before was like, even with the sickness we've had at our home, you walk into that room and you look into the eyes of somebody who's saying, we've got a brand new day. Let's go. It's a contagious excitement. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's a contagious excitement. A constant reminder, even in that morning, in that moment, not to coast. Not to go through the motions. But to look at the day that's before me and embrace that there is something perhaps bigger, perhaps better than anything I've anticipated or expected or imagined I could have known. And Jesus is capitalizing on that experience. And to those that would be tempted to do so, Jesus is saying, don't look at the state of your life or the state of your faith and trick yourself into thinking that you've already arrived. Humble yourself and treat every day as a new day to pursue the eternal future that God has for you. You know, when we look at the scriptures, we see that Jesus is often, not even often, he's always incredibly intentional about who he's speaking to about the kingdom and about what it is that he's telling them. And so I don't think it would be remiss for us to take a moment to look at these two passages that we're talking about this morning and just have a look to make sure that we know who it is that he's speaking to. Because if we go back to our first passage, Luke chapter 17, his audience is revealed to us right away, where we read that having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, that should cause us to stop, I think, for a minute. Just to take a pause when we realize the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees. Jesus, do you realize that this is the group of people that has had it out for you? The very group of people that has most wanted to destroy you? If we're familiar with the Old Testament, we would see that in the Old Testament there are a number of prophecies about a coming Messiah. And the Pharisees were looking ahead, looking way beyond Jesus for the fulfillment of those prophecies, for the day when a Messiah would come, claim victory over evil, and set all things right. The idea that these prophecies could be right in front of them, before their very eyes, it was just simply not on their radar. But yet here comes Jesus. And he's standing right before them to the people that oppose him the very most. And what does he do? He encourages them. You shouldn't wait for it, he says. You shouldn't look so far ahead. Don't miss what is standing right in front of you. The kingdom is already here. It has come. Now, if Jesus is going to chuckle a little bit at our perhaps shock or surprise to see the recipients of that message, he's not done yet, because in our Matthew chapter 18 passage, he flips the script in the very same way. Because who is that kingdom teaching about little children directed to? It's to the disciples. His closest followers, the ones that had already gained the most. We're talking about that group of people whose salvation was likely most assured. And yet it is to them that he lays out this challenge to look forward, to look ahead, to look to the future. You know, I thought to myself, if I took the screen here and I'd started today by just putting these two passages side by side without any context, and I asked you to identify which of these teachings Jesus directed to the Pharisees and which to the disciples, I expect that many of us in this room would have failed the quiz. Because it seems like they're backwards, doesn't it? That they really go the other way around. And you know, in my past year, this is what I would say I find most exciting, most intriguing about serving in a camp ministry context, is that so often the mystery of God's kingdom happens the other way around, the way that we would least expect it. And I'm certain that there are many people in this room that would cite camp ministry, camp experience as a key piece of your own faith journey, of your own development of your relationship with God. And the thing about camp ministry that stands out, I think, in so many ways is that there's this setting that takes place where people, they seem to have a different set of eyes and perhaps a different set of ears, almost looking for God in a different and listening for him in a new way. So often we find people even anticipate an encounter with God before they even set foot on the camp property. It makes it awfully easy, I think, for God to work when people are coming and they step on and say, okay, I'm here, Lord. I'm ready. Speak to me. I want to hear from you. I want to be challenged. It's one of the benefits of being in a ministry setting like that, because that's not what all ministry settings find. People who anticipate an encounter with God, but yet as much as we can anticipate that anticipation, more often than not, God's kingdom, the life-changing moments are happening in the way that we least expect, to the group of people that we didn't see it coming. And that, I think, is because God desires to remind everyone, regardless of our expectations, he desires to remind everyone that he wants to be a part of their everyday as well as of their someday. And I do believe this is the message he has for you as a community of faith today as well. Because Christ's kingdom is here. But Christ's kingdom is not yet here. And perhaps Scripture wraps these two parallel truths up and sort of gift wraps them and hands them to us in a nice, beautiful package, no better than in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, where we read, hear this, we read, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and yet he will reign forever and ever." Now, and not yet. So fitting that God would end his written story to us out of his word with a reminder of the truth of his kingdom promise, that the kingdom has come, but that his kingdom is coming. And his invitation to each of us, both now and forevermore, is to be a part of both. Today, Jesus says, is a fantastic day to remember that God wants to be a part of your everyday and he wants to be a part of your someday. So may his kingdom come. Amen. As we wrap up this piece of our service together, I want to extend an invitation to you before the team comes up to lead us in some more song, an invitation to just sit with the reminder of God's kingdom promises and to just share privately with him, have I been living for your kingdom today? Do I see the place where I am involved in your kingdom work today, Jesus, because you came to this earth to fulfill the promises from that Old Testament, to fulfill the promises that you've given to me through your word? Have I engaged with that? Have I held on to that? Or have my thoughts just purely been about heaven? Or perhaps you need to share with the Lord and say, I haven't really thought that much about heaven. I love the life that I have. I love pouring into the people that are around me. And I've been a little bit in that rhythm, but I've been forgetting about the eternal, beautiful promises that you have for me, that tomorrow and the day after could be a future even better than what I've known or imagined. So I just invite you, I'm gonna share a quick prayer, and then I invite you just to take that moment of personal reflection to offer that up to God, and then the band will be back up to lead us. Jesus, we are so grateful that you are so present, not just in our lives, but through your word and in our futures. As we spend a moment now just reflecting on the kingdom that we give most credence to, would you challenge us? Would you encourage us? Would you remind us that you are in our everyday, but that you have created an amazing someday for us as well? Be with us now as we continue to spend time and worship you.